Father, we are so grateful for the salvation that's ours in Jesus Christ. Lord, as we have sung together, we will echo our voices down through eternity, praising you and praising your Son for the work of grace that you've done in our hearts. Lord, we freely confess that if we were left to ourselves, our future, our eternity would be hopeless. We would be without Christ, without you, and without hope forever. But Father, we thank you that because of your love for us in Jesus Christ, because you sent him to stand in our place, to suffer for the sins that we had committed, Lord, we have the joy of forgiveness, of salvation, of eternity, to praise you and exalt you. Thank you, O God, for your great grace. We acknowledge that we are saved by grace alone, through the work of Jesus Christ alone, received solely by faith alone, and that it's nothing to do with ourselves. We come, as we have sung, empty-handed, and still rejoice, because you are the God who needs nothing from us. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to hear from those tonight who will share their testimonies with us in baptism, who intend to tell that very story through their own lives, their own voice, through the work you've done specifically in them, but exalting salvation song, and ultimately, O God, exalting you. Thank you for that joy. Receive the worship that we bring you tonight from our hearts as we rejoice together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we welcome you back tonight. We are so excited, as always, to hear from those who have come to give their testimonies in baptism. If you are our guest tonight, we welcome you. Most Sunday nights, we're studying through the Word of God together. Great music, as you've heard, and then we have a wonderful time of study of the Scriptures. We're working our way through the book of Revelation on Sunday night. But several times through the year, we have the opportunity to hear from those who have come to faith in Jesus Christ and want, as the Lord commanded, to be baptized. I appreciate so much John Stonecipher filling in tonight. I told Seth I was going to give him a hard time. He missed tonight, the night of the Super Bowl, but he assured me that it had nothing to do with that. It's his birthday, and he and Kirsten had talked about a way to celebrate, and they were going to get away. So we're grateful for their opportunity to do that, and thank you, John, for leading us in music and worship. Well, again, as we turn to baptism, let me just make sure that all of us are clear on what this means and doesn't mean. The Lord Jesus said to his disciples after his resurrection that they were to go and make disciples of all the nations. That is, they were to bring people to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, and they would commit to follow him. That's what it means to make disciples. And then, having become his disciple by faith in him and his work, they were to be baptized. So baptism doesn't contribute to salvation. It doesn't accomplish anything spiritually in the lives of those who will be baptized. Rather, it is a picture. It's a symbol of what's already happened in their lives, that they have been changed by Jesus Christ, and it is a public confession of their faith in Jesus Christ. As I was sharing with them beforehand, the water and being immersed in the water is such a powerful picture, because Romans 6 talks about the spiritual reality. There's no water baptism in Romans 6, but it talks about the fact that if you're a Christian, when you became a believer at that very moment, it's as if who you used to be died with Jesus Christ. And then it's as if you were buried with Jesus Christ. And it's as if you were raised to new life in Jesus Christ. And baptism beautifully pictures that. So this is simply an external, visible picture of an internal spiritual reality that's already occurred in the lives of those who will share their testimonies. The event, the spiritual event that you will hear described in their testimonies, that is what brought them to salvation, when the Lord saved them by his grace. And this merely demonstrates powerfully their commitment to Jesus Christ, to follow him, and what happened to them at that moment that they repented of their sins and put their faith in Jesus Christ. The person they used to be died, and as if was buried and gone with Christ, and they have been raised to new life. As Paul puts it, we are new creations in Jesus Christ. So I hope you will pray for these as they come to share their testimonies with us tonight. I'm excited to hear what the Lord has done in their lives.
Hi, my name is Matthew Hilliard, and this is my testimony. Before I came to know the Lord as my Savior, I was constantly in sin. I would lie and cheat, thinking that since no one was watching me, no one could know. I was not thinking about verses like Proverbs 15:3, which say, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching evil and the good." I would constantly do things behind my parents' back, not truly understanding that, like it says in Romans 6:23, that the wages of sin is death. When I sinned, I would not ask for forgiveness because I had no desire to change my ways because I love my sin. When I did ask for forgiveness, it had no true meaning and I had no change of heart. I always thought that I would wait until I was an adult before I became a Christian, thinking that I would keep living in the same sinful pattern and that it was living with no real consequence. As time went on, I began to see my sin as normal and okay. I began not wanting to change for fear that people might see me as different. One summer day at youth, I heard Justin say the words, "Where would you go if Jesus returned right now?" These words caused me to be afraid. It was that fear that caused me to want to understand verses like Mark 1:15, which say to repent and believe in the gospel. I began to improve, but still struggled greatly with my sin. Every time I would try to stop sinning, I would find myself slipping back into sin. Two years ago, during summer break, I began to greatly struggle with my sin to the point of needing to receive counsel. After I had been counseled for a few weeks, I began to memorize Colossians 3:2, which says, "Set your mind on things above and not on the things upon the earth." This verse really helped me to change my view on things, and I would tell it to myself every time there was an opportunity to sin. After one of my counseling sessions, I got into the car and began to talk to my mom about how I wanted to be saved. Suddenly, I broke into tears at the realization of how desperately I needed Christ. After this, I came to understand the verse Romans 10:9, which says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised you from the dead, that you will be saved. Since I have come to Christ, I have been working hard to combat my sins, feeling comfort that the Lord is always with me. I have been slower to anger and kinder to people around me. I have come to follow the verse John 1:9, which says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Though I still struggle with my sin, I know that God can help, and I can conquer that sin. I have come to love the Lord and enjoy spending time with like-minded Christians. I have begun to understand and pay more attention to any teachings at church, and have grown to hate my sin and strive to be more like Christ. This is why I'm here to be baptized.
Great job. Grab your rest. Well, Matthew, we rejoice that God brought you through those different understandings where you came to understand your sin, you came to understand the gospel and what was required, that you had to repent and believe in Christ, because you give clear testimony that you have confessed Jesus as Lord, and because you believed in your heart that God raised him from the dead. It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Good evening. My name is Wei Tian. My husband Eugene and I have been searching for a spiritual belief since our college years. After we came to the U.S. in the late 1990s, we were introduced to a Buddha school. Shortly after, I had a dream. I saw a man surrounded in a bright light descend from heaven and came toward me. I knew immediately he's Jesus. He came so close to me with so much light and glory. The next morning, I shared my dream with Eugene. Not long after, two Christian groups came to our apartment to share with us the story of Jesus and introduced to us Christianity. This sowed a seed in our hearts. Over the years, we couldn't accept nor integrate into any Buddha school, as the worlds they described did not attract us. Right before Thanksgiving in 2022, I was diagnosed with stage 4 stomach cancer with metastasis at MD Anderson Cancer Center in Houston. We drove home on Thanksgiving Day thinking it could be the last with my children. This unexpected disaster drove me into total darkness with fear, sorrow, and despair. I thought about where I wanted my soul to go after my life, and I desperately longed for a bright world. It was when I felt so empty and hopeless that I remembered the beautiful light and warmth Jesus brought to me in my dream, and knew at that moment I wanted to go with Jesus. I had never read the Bible before, but I later found in John 8:12, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." That Saturday, I posted on the Nextdoor app, "Dear neighbors, I'm looking for someone who can guide me to Jesus. I would like to go to church tomorrow, but have not done that before." I received over 80 incredibly supportive responses, which provided me with help and guidance in many different ways. Nancy and Bob Clark, Stacy and Patrick, and Yan Ma from Countryside Bible Church visited me and led my family to the church the very next day, which was the Sunday after Thanksgiving. We have been coming here every week since. During church services, through Pastor Pennington's preaching and teaching, as well as through musical worship, I can feel God's power pierce into the deep parts of my soul. I admit I'm a sinner, and I confess and repent all my sins. Jesus died on the cross for my sins. Jesus paid the price for our redemption when he gave his life as a ransom in the place of many, Mark 10:45. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life, John 3:16. I received Jesus as my Savior and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I'm saved and reborn. I've finally found my Heavenly Father, and I can feel his immense love for me. God's love and salvation have given me peace, joy, and courage to face the challenges and the trials in my life. He has changed my heart, and I dedicate my life to serving God and spreading God's love to other people. I crave for God's words to know more about him and to be with him forever. Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom should I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom should I be afraid? So I'm here tonight to be baptized. Thank you.
Well, Way, our hearts are full from hearing your testimony. We're so grateful that the Lord helped you to see through his providence the emptiness of Buddhism and to see the power of Christ in the gospel. But we're especially grateful that he brought you through his word to really understand who Jesus is, to understand what it means to be his follower, to be saved through grace because you have repented of your sins because you have put your faith solely in Jesus Christ, it is my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
My name is Eugene Shaw. I came to United States with my wife in the late 1990s, searching for a spiritual belief for over 30 years. I tried to follow several Buddhist schools for many years, but never felt fully at peace. Gradually, I realized that this feeling meant that my heart couldn't accept this faith, and I couldn't dedicate myself to it. From their description of the world after death and salvation, I felt hopeless and trapped. I didn't want my soul to go there. For a long time, I hoped that after my physical death, my soul would die and evaporate from this world. I felt there was no genuine meaning of life for me. Realizing that I was unhappy, I felt the Buddhist, I left by Buddhist school. I didn't pursue religion until God saved me. Right before Thanksgiving, my wife was diagnosed with stage 4 stomach cancer. A few days later, she told me that she wanted to follow Jesus and was going to church that Sunday. Despite my feeling of hopelessness and despair, I joined her in going to church for the first time at Countryside Bible Church. Little did I know that this would change my life forever. Feeling the power of God for the first time through Pastor Pennington's sermons, we enthusiastically returned every week for service and Sunday school. Specifically, Pastor Pennington's lecture, Love as a Sign of Life, deeply touched my heart and filled my body with a sense of warmth and love. As he preached, I felt my heart was suddenly opened and the love flowed out like a spring of water, constant and large in volume. In John 7:38, Jesus said, "He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." I couldn't stop crying. I know I'm a sinner. I confessed and repented from all sins and faults that are contrary to his ways. For he is my Savior. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5:8. Christ's death and the resurrection puts beyond all doubt the fact that God loves us. I found the home that I had been in search of for so long. I have found my faith in Christ. This is exactly like Paul's prayer in 2 Thessalonians 3.35 that, "May the Lord direct your heart into God's law and Christ's perseverance." God has given me so much in the time since he saved me, his love, peace, and joy. I now see the world differently. For the first time, I have started to love life and love people I don't even know. I feel that I have finally found the place that I want myself to go. I want more people to be saved like I am. So I'm here tonight to be baptized.
Well, Eugene, we are so grateful for the Lord's work in your life, that again, he showed you along with your wife Wei, the emptiness of everything outside of God and outside of the love of God in Jesus Christ. Because you have acknowledged your sin and you have turned from your sin, because your faith is in the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, where God demonstrated his love by offering his son as a payment for our sin. Because your confidence is in him, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hello, my name is Cora Heinze. For many years, I believed and told people that I was saved at 12 years old. I sat under solid teaching, understood the gospel conceptually, and knew all the right things to say from Scripture. I was even baptized at 16 years old. However, my sin life never really changed. Throughout high school, I was involved in many unbiblical relationships, and in my first year of college, I added habitual partying to the mix. My life was the epitome of 1 John 2, 3-4, as I claimed to know Christ but did not keep his commandments. I was a liar, deceiving myself and everyone around me, but God cannot be deceived. In fact, Hebrews 4:13 says nothing can be hidden from God, and we will have to give an account to him one day. It wasn't until the end of my first year of college that God made my sin very evident to me through a Philippians series being preached at my church. Philippians 3:17-18 makes clear that those who are enemies of the cross of Christ are set apart for destruction. My conviction was great, and hell became very real as the place that I deserved to be. All I could do was sit in my dorm and weep. In that moment, I turned to the Gospel of Matthew and read in chapter 27 about Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. These were passages that I had read several times, but it wasn't until that moment when I realized that I was the one who sent Jesus to the cross for my disobedience. As Acts 2:37 states, I was truly cut to the heart, but praise be to God that the gospel doesn't end there. Through many tears, I cried out to God, asking for mercy and forgiveness, and repented of all the evil acts I committed against him. I asked that he help me to live a life in obedience to him as the ultimate Lord of my life. I found great comfort in Romans 8:1, which states, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, and I still do to this day. Since that day 6 years ago, all I can do is praise the Lord for bringing me out of a state of utter sin and deception. I can find peace, joy, and comfort in the fact that Jesus willingly paid it all for someone so undeserving. I no longer desire the things of my flesh, as I know that there is nothing on this earth worth eternal separation from God. However, I'm nowhere near perfect and must fight sin and temptation every day. But I also know that the Lord is so gracious and quick to forgive when we fall short in our daily life. As a result of the Lord calling me to himself, I now desire to read, know, and hide God's word in my heart, which is what Psalm 119:11 says. I find great joy in glorifying God by serving and loving his people through Countryside Bible and sharing the good news with others. I have also noticed that the Holy Spirit has helped me to be slower to anger, gentler and kinder towards others, and quicker to forgive. The Lord continues to sanctify me every day, especially through my marriage and my sweet husband. Until beginning the Partners Discipleship Program, I had not actually realized the exact point of my salvation. However, the Bible calls us to believe and be baptized, which does not save us, but signifies us dying to our old self and walking a new life with Christ. Since my true salvation, I have not been obedient in this ordinance. I am thankful to God for revealing this to me, and I come today to be baptized.
Well, Cora, we're so glad that instead of the empty profession that you made earlier in life, that God brought you to see your sin, but also brought you to see the beauty of the gospel, that in Christ, we can experience true forgiveness and know God our Creator. Because you have repented and believed in him, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hi, my name is Audrey Hendrickson. My life before salvation was prideful and selfish. This was especially reflected in my relationships. I fought with my brother, and my friendships and interactions with others were only for my own benefit and not because I cared about other people. The words I spoke were out of anger and jealousy instead of wisdom. Growing up in the church, I understood all the doctrines, but I still held on to my life tightly. I wasn't ready to give up control and live it for a better purpose than my immediate wishes. I was like the Pharisees, the rich young ruler, or the demons in James 2:19, who believe and shudder, yet are in total opposition to God. But in between 8th and 9th grade, God really worked in my heart for his purpose. First, I was becoming abruptly disillusioned with the world around me in the aftermath of COVID. With the hatred and hostility and the gender, racial, and political problems around us, I realized how broken the world was. I had heard my whole life that the Bible was true, but I had never regarded it more clearly as the only source of truth. Stepping into high school, I was shocked by the words and actions of my classmates and how self-absorbed they were. This stood in stark contrast with my friends at church. They were mature, patient, kind, and selfless. They encouraged me instead of tore me down, in every way the opposite of the unbelievers I knew. I saw how much their lives was affected by Christ. These high schoolers had hope, love, and peace, while the other ones had anger issues and chronic depression. I realized that without accepting Christ as Lord and Savior, I was a part of the world, separated from the peace of and love of God by a chasm I couldn't come close to crossing. I was characterized by hatred, filthiness, and selfishness. I came to realize how much Jesus' death on the cross meant to me personally instead of just the general concept of his love. I realized I was fake and lacked a meaningful life. Ezekiel 36:26 says, "And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." I needed a new heart, a new life. I needed to be cleansed. After I realized these things, all the lessons meant more, and I looked forward to coming to church and sitting under the teaching. Through actively listening to these sermons, I realized how important living today rightly is. Now I strive to do good, not so others will see me, but they will see Jesus. There's nothing I love more than coming to church, singing, serving, learning, discussing life with other believers. My entire perspective on what I do, say, and think changed because I acknowledge that everything in this life is fleeting, but we seek the city that is to come, as Hebrews 13:14 says. Now I can really rejoice in God's work, and I see the fruits of the Spirit growing in my life where they weren't before. I am deepening my relationships with the believers in my life while trying to be a light to those around me. I come to God's word ready to learn, have changed out my old childhood prayers for ones with meaning, and implement his truths in my walk. As Colossians 3 says, I've died and my life is hidden with Christ in God. So I set my mind on things above and strive to follow his commandments. As part of my dedication to him and the church, I am here to be baptized.
Well, Audrey, we're so grateful that even through the difficult circumstances of the last several years, the Lord used those in your life to help you see the difference between those who know God and those who don't, and to create that desire and appetite within you. That's a work of the Spirit of God. And because even the verse you described from Ezekiel, because God has given you a new heart, because he's placed his Spirit within you and given you a new desire to obey his word and the ability to do so, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hi, my name is Liam Bingham. I was born and raised in a Christian home. I grew up learning the truths of Scripture, but never really learned them. I was a hearer, not a doer. I only wanted to come to church to hang out, not to grow in Christ. I thought I would inherit my salvation from my parents or just get saved later in life before I died. I thought that what I did wasn't that bad and I could just repent later. But as Romans 3:10 says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, not even one." When I was about 12 or 13, I realized the depravity of my sin, but instead of repenting and turning to Christ, I just denied the existence of God altogether. If he didn't exist, then sin wasn't a problem, right? In reality, I knew he existed, I just didn't want to live like it, so that's what I told myself. I believed all this, all while playing the part of the good Christian kid on the outside. In 2019, my family had the opportunity to go to Israel with Countryside. I only wanted to go for the experience and bragging rights, not the opportunity to learn more about Christ's life and see the real places that he went. When we started the Israel trip, God started softening my heart and showing me that there was no way to get around the reality of his existence. I saw place after place that backed up the existence of a literal, historical Jesus. On one of the last nights of the trip, we were listening to Pastor Tom preach before communion, and it finally all clicked. I knew he existed, and I couldn't get to heaven on my own. I knew my sin was wrong, and I was finally willing to leave my sin. I broke down crying and asked God to save me from my sin. I was tired of living in rebellion. As Romans 10:9 says, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. After my conversion, I wanted to follow and obey Christ, but I didn't know how because I never really listened to all the sermons and lessons that I'd heard. It was during the start of the COVID quarantine that the high school group went through Colossians. When we went through Colossians 3, I realized I was trying to grow in sanctification before practicing spiritual disciplines like studying the word. As Colossians 3:1 through 2 says, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. It is only after we set our minds on Christ that we will grow in Christ's likeness by putting off sin and putting on righteousness. Since coming to Christ, I want to grow in my walk with God. I cultivate that by reading and studying God's word, praying, coming to church, listening and applying sermons, and building friendships that will spur me on towards Christ. Christ commands believers to be baptized, to publicly proclaim their allegiance to him, and that is why I'm here to be baptized.
Well, Liam, I remember that time at the Garden Tomb, and just before we took communion, reflecting on all that we had seen and heard. I'm so grateful that the Lord used that trip and all of those experiences to help you see the reality of Jesus of Nazareth, that he lived, he existed, he made remarkable claims, and I'm so grateful that through his word, he brought you to believe those claims and to acknowledge Jesus as Savior and Lord. Because you have confessed Jesus as Savior and Lord, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Good evening. My name is Edith Bingham. I have been blessed to not only grow up at Countryside, but also with parents who have faithfully taught and shown me the gospel from a young age. I knew the truth of the gospel, that we have broken God's law and deserve God's just punishment for our sin, but if we repent, turn away from our sin, and place our complete trust in Christ and his work on the cross, that we are forgiven of our sins, and Christ has taken the punishment that we deserved, as Paul describes in 2 Corinthians 5:21, which says, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Even though I learned these truths, I assumed I was a Christian simply because I knew what the gospel was, though I had not responded to it in repentance and faith, and there was no evidence in my life of the change the gospel brings. I was blind to my lack of right standing before God. As 1 John 2:11 describes, the one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. However, I had a lot of doubt, though at the time I didn't realize that it was doubt. I constantly was concocting a testimony in order to appease my conscience and convince myself that I was saved. I was very much a people pleaser, and so to the people around me, I looked like a good Christian kid. On the inside, though, everything I did was about making me look good, so I was more than willing to lie and sin to maintain my image. I was like the Pharisees that Jesus described in Matthew 23:27, who were like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside appear beautiful, but inside they are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. I was very bossy and impatient with my brother. I loved coming to church, but only because it was my community of friends and I had a lot of fun. I never came to worship and learn about the Lord. When I was in fifth grade, the leadership of Countryside decided to transition the junior high group into the middle school group. That meant that I moved up to youth group a year earlier than I had planned, with only a few months of heads up. That first year in middle school was hard for me. It was just so completely different from children's ministry and everything I had ever done at Countryside. Throughout that year, my mental testimony to myself was constantly changing. No one had ever asked me about my salvation. My testimony was just to satisfy my own conscience. But I was still convinced I was saved, which just shows how blind I was without the Holy Spirit. On a Wednesday night, towards the end of my sixth grade year, I went to youth group. That night, during small group time, my small group leader randomly asked me how long I had been saved. I was so surprised by the question that all I could say was, "I don't know." God is so wise, because if she had warned me that she was going to ask that, I would have recited my testimony and moved on without thinking about it. That was the first time anyone had ever asked me about my salvation, and that was what God used to open my blind eyes to the fact that I was not saved. When I got home that night, I prayed, and as Mark 1:15 instructs us, I repented and believed in the gospel, and I became, as 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, a new creature. The old things passed away, and new things have come. Since being saved, my life is no longer about me and how I look. It is about glorifying God with everything I say and do. I love going to church to fellowship with other believers, study the word, and worship the Lord together. I love digging into God's word on my own, meditating on the truths, and applying those things to my life. I memorize scripture verses so that I can easily recall them and in trials and to encourage others. I strive to pray often since that is so important to spiritual growth. I seek to surround myself with people who will challenge and encourage me in my walk with the Lord and strive to be that same kind of friend to others. I love to serve the people around me because I have been so loved and forgiven. I take my sin very seriously now because it is an offense against a holy and just God who loves me. I want to change, not just to look better to everyone around me, but because it disgusts me when I sin against my Heavenly Father. I have seen so much growth in my life in so many areas, and the Lord continually shows me areas in my life that need to change. I am by no means perfect, but as Philippians 1:6 says, I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. That is why I'm here tonight to be baptized.
Well, Edith, we are so grateful that the Lord brought you as he's brought many of us who grew up in the church and who looked okay on the outside to see that, like the Pharisees, we were whitewashed tombs. I share that story, and so I appreciate it, hearing it, because now the Lord has changed your heart. You've repented and believed in the Lord, and he's changed you. You're a new creation. It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hello, my name is Bella Ragsdale. As many of you know, we moved here almost 5 years ago because my dad's the college pastor. I'm so thankful we moved here, and I've seen my life change drastically since then. I always wanted people to see me as being a good Christian. I just wanted to do and say the right things. If anyone asked, I would have said I was saved in middle school because I prayed a prayer. I had myself convinced that I was saved and kept living off that one instance. I did nothing, but I didn't think anything of it. My intentions were all self-focused. I was pretty much living off my good works and thought I was saved because of them. In reality, we cannot be saved by our works in any way. Titus 3:5 says, he saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his own mercy. I have been baptized in the past. Being a pastor's kid, I wanted to do the right things. Baptism was next on my list. I signed up and got baptized in 2018. I said I was saved, I thought I was saved, but nothing changed. There were no fruits, as in Galatians 5:22 through 23 says. I barely remember reading my Bible and actually understanding and enjoying it. Prayer was non-existent. I did everything for myself and was so filled with pride. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. As I filled out my membership application this past summer, the question struck me, when were you saved? It took me a long time to answer that. I used to say middle school, but I remember that time in my life and don't remember actually repenting and changing. I took a look at my life since then and came to the conclusion that I was not saved at that time and my baptism was meaningless. I don't remember an exact time, but I believe the Lord changed my heart sometime early into the summer of 2021. That is when I really understood the gospel, that I needed a perfect savior to save me from an eternity in hell because of my sin. That the perfect holy God who created everyone on earth sent his perfect son, Jesus, to save us from our sins. Because otherwise, we are all destined for eternity in hell, because we have sinned against the holy God and deserve punishment. When we repent and turn away from our sins, like Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. After graduating and moving into Roots, I started Partners. It was very helpful and challenging. I studied through James, and it was very applicable on how to live a godly life. I have seen myself change a lot. I used to serve just because that was what you were supposed to do. Now I genuinely want to serve others in the church out of love for them and for Christ. I love my church family and want to get better at being more intentional. I really enjoy coming to Roots Wednesdays and Sundays with all the things in between. I have more discipline when it comes to reading the Word and praying. I want to be constantly doing a new devotional or Bible plan. And when I don't prioritize this, I see a difference it truly makes. I find myself praying throughout the day, and that helps shape my mind and heart to bring glory to God. I see my sin and call it what it is. It is terrible and it destroys. I hate it and I want to fight it every day. God gave us His Word and His Holy Spirit to fight against it. Psalm 139, 23 through 24 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I look forward to heaven and will bring glory to Christ till He calls me home. I believe the Lord has brought me to true repentance and salvation, and I stand here before my church family and God to be baptized tonight."
Well, Bella, we are so glad that through a simple question on the application for membership, the Lord opened your eyes to see the truth of your condition and brought you in a fresh way to see what you've known for so long, but to see it personally, that Christ alone saves. Because your faith is in Jesus Christ as your only hope of knowing God, because you've repented and believed in Him, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Good evening. My name is Justin Martin. I grew up in a very conservative Christian household. I remember going to church quite a bit as a child, but by middle school that stopped being the norm. But even though we stopped going to church, both of my parents raised me to know who Jesus was, and as far as I was concerned, I was convinced that I was a Christian. I would find out many years later that all I had was an intellectual understanding and acceptance of Jesus, but He was not the Lord of my life. Growing up, I was picked on quite a bit, and as a teenager, I really struggled with extreme depression, anxiety, and just felt like I really didn't fit in anywhere. As a result of this, I sought out anything to make me feel better, and that manifested itself in the form of substance abuse and sexual immorality. By the time I was a senior in high school, addiction had taken a hold of me and led me down a very dark road for many years. It would inform all of my decisions and invade all of my relationships. These enslaving sins became a cruel master that always overpromised and underdelivered. Drugs, alcohol, and women became an idol in my life that I had no hope of overcoming, and they only ever left me feeling desperate, alone, and hopeless. At the peak of my drug addiction, I can remember feeling isolated and alone even when I was surrounded by people who cared about me. My heart was searching for something to change. It was crying out for God to help me, and I just knew that if Jesus was as the Gospels described Him, He was not indifferent to my need for Him. And if 2 Corinthians 5:21 was true, that for our sake He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God, that He was my only hope to no longer be a slave to sin. So I began attending church, and over the next year or so, I would hear some very convicting preaching that helped me to understand what genuine faith and repentance is all about. 1 John 3:7-8 says that whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. This was a sobering truth to hear, and it caused me to examine my own heart and the hypocrisy within it. I had been calling myself a Christian for my entire life, but I was just now seeing for the first time that I was lost and needed God to do a regenerative work in my heart. I was just now understanding the gospel message for the first time, that I not only had a responsibility to believe that Christ died for my sins so that I might be reconciled to the Father, but that I had an obligation to obey Him as well. Hebrews 5:9 states, "And having been made perfect, He became to all those who obey Him the source of eternal salvation." I knew I had no capacity to change on my own. I had tried for so many years. What was needed now was for God to make me into the new creation in Christ that Paul speaks of in 2 Corinthians 5:17, and that I would have to turn from my sin rather than continuing to walk in it, taking God's grace and mercy for granted. During that season of my life, I began to experience that heart change and began to have holy affections towards the Lord, His people, His word, and my worldly desires became less and less. Since coming to faith in Christ, my life has been radically different. I've increasingly grown in my love for God. I've experienced a transformed life. Being sanctified can feel like an awfully slow process at times, but when I look at how I was versus how I am today, that today I have victory over sin and a desire to evangelize and see others transformed by the gospel, I can't help but feel overwhelmingly grateful to a faithful God who saved someone as unfaithful as I had been. Devotion to God's glory and learning about who He is has become my main concern in my day-to-day life. I have no desire to be a part of the world or its ways, but rather to live obediently and demonstrate a genuine sense of humility and sacrificial love for others. The ways I cultivate my walk with God involves regular fellowship with other believers, continually praying and being in the Word daily, listening to sermons while I'm at work, reading books on theology, discussing truths about Scripture with other Christians and how we might apply those to daily life, and having accountability with them over the sins we may wrestle with. Because of God's great faithfulness in saving me and giving me, granting me genuine faith and repentance, I am now able to come and be baptized.
Well, Justin, we are so grateful that the Lord brought you in His grace to understand really both of the statements Jesus makes, that the one who commits sin is a slave of sin. He brought you to see that in a painful way, didn't He? But at the same time, He brought you to see the reality that the one whom the Son makes free will be free indeed. Because you have put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and He has freed you from the penalty of sin, because He's broken its power in your life by His grace, by His work, because your confidence is solely in Him. It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
My name is Jeannie Price. I was born and raised in rural Alaska for most of my childhood. My family attended church regularly, and at age 5, I vaguely remember asking Jesus into my heart. By age 10, our church allowed me to be baptized if I could read the book of John. My childhood was guided by Christian principles set forth in our home, and so it was easy to claim Christianity. By the time I was 16 and sent to boarding school, I had mastered the art of playing Christian when the right people were looking, and then indulging in sinful behavior when their backs were turned. I was just like the Pharisees Jesus talked about in Luke 11:39. The outside of the cup and dish are clean, but your inward part is full of greed and wickedness. My early 20s were spent in the U.S. Navy in California, where I continued to play the Christian card when it was convenient. I occasionally attended church, but mostly lived in blatant rebellion to God's word. I was habitually living in sin, and 1 John 3:4 says, "Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness." Fast forward a few more years, I had gotten married, had 2 kids, and the economy forced a move to Texas. By this time, my marriage was falling apart. I hated my life and husband and wanted out. Proverbs 10:12 says, "Hatred stirs up strife." And Proverbs 14:1 says, "The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands. Strife so thick you could cut it with a knife, and a home that was falling apart." perfectly described my situation at the time. I was that foolish woman. Most of the advice, including advice from a Christian counselor, was that a divorce was totally acceptable. I started to pursue it, while also feeling incredibly torn about whether or not divorce was right from a Christian perspective. It was probably the first time I wondered whether my choices would be in line with God's word. I started asking questions and searching for answers. At the same time, I was encouraged to read John Calvin's Tulip by my mom. That book only brought about more questions from a doctrinal angle. I was struggling with the concept of election when a chance meeting at a parade with a member from Countryside suggested I listen to a series about it on the Word Unleashed podcast. Divine Selection was the series. I was just about to listen to it when I saw another series about the duties of a godly wife. Considering the status of my marriage, I listened to that first. It was as if a light bulb had been turned on. Never, ever had I been so convicted. It was a flood of understanding and overwhelming realization that God's word is true. And that I was living in absolute defiance towards it. No wonder my marriage was falling apart. I then listened to the Divine Selection series. After that, it took no more convincing to see that I was in dire need of a savior. I was absolutely a slave to sin, worldly, materialistic, selfish, angry, prideful, and hypocritical. I could no longer pretend what wasn't there. I was not saved. I was a wretched sinner. Romans 3:11 says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." And Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Familiar verses I had heard over the years, but never understood until now. I deserved the punishment of eternal hell and separation from God. But in an act of grace, Jesus had taken my place by dying on the cross. He bore our sins on the tree that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. 1 Peter 2:24. I confessed my sins and sought his forgiveness. I know that at that moment, 8 years ago, I was immediately redeemed, saved, and justified. No longer dead, I was born again, a child of God. It wasn't an overnight change. I've now had to face the hard facts and consequences of the decisions I had made. Habitual sins that had to be confronted and stopped. I had to forgive and also seek forgiveness from others. It was not and has not been easy. My pride and anger were serious hurdles in my marriage. But now I could face these issues with hope, knowing that even though the road may be narrow and difficult, I have Christ, I have God's word, and I have the Holy Spirit within me. As long as I am endeavoring to do his will and follow his commands, I know our unchanging God will keep his promises to help me. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it." I can't deny that some things are harder to stop than others, but my desire is to do what is biblically right, not what is convenient or easy. I am daily in his word to know and understand the truth. I actively seek guidance from more mature Christians, and I now know the vital importance of prayer. Looking back, I can see many of the ways that God has worked in my life despite my rebellion to lead me to him. He has used a failing marriage, meeting and making a random friend at a parade, podcast, lost jobs, and the death of loved ones to draw me closer to him. Oh, Father, use my ransomed life in any way you choose, and let my song forever be, my only boast is you. Hallelujah, all I have is Christ. Hallelujah, Jesus is my life. For these reasons, I'm here to be baptized.
Well, Jeannie, our hearts just rejoice with you to see the Lord's work in your life, that he brought you to see the emptiness of a life of rebellion against him and his word, that through providence, as you talked about, meeting a friend at a parade and in other circumstances, he brought you to see himself, to see the beauty of Christ and the gospel, to understand your sin, to be convicted over it, and to see your only hope was in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because you have repented of your sins and put your faith in Jesus Christ alone, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, those were wonderful, weren't they? So amazing to see the work of God's grace. Some who've been in Christ for a long time, others only a couple of months. And just wonderful to see the way God works. You know, the Puritans used to talk about God's severe mercies. That is, that he brings circumstances into our lives that are severe, but in the end they turned out to be mercies because he uses them for amazing good. And we've seen that in the testimonies even tonight. I hope you'll pray for these who shared their testimonies with us. Be especially in prayer for Wei as she's dealing with stage 4 stomach cancer and with her husband Eugene and their daughter. Just pray for them, for God's grace and wisdom and strength, and that if it's his will, he would bring her through that. If not, he would continue to deepen her faith and bring her to himself. Let's pray together. Our Father, we do thank you for the joy of knowing you. We thank you for the fact that you have brought all of us who are in Christ through that same journey of seeing our sin. Lord, some of us from completely pagan backgrounds, others of us raised in Christian families, but regardless, in rebellion, whether it just internally or whether expressed externally, Lord, all of us, at some level, were sinning against you actively without concern. But, oh God, we thank you that you brought us to see the sinfulness of our sin. You brought us to see who Jesus is and what he accomplished. And then you gave us faith as a gift. You gave us repentance as a gift. You brought us to see and to understand these things. And you gave us life. Father, thank you for the work of regeneration. Thank you for justification, that at the moment of salvation, you declare us to be forever right with you because of the death of your Son and because his righteousness is credited to us. Lord, thank you for the joy of knowing you and even the changes that these who shared their testimonies tonight. Lord, we can look at our lives and we are not what we yet want to be or one day will be by your grace when we see Christ. But Lord, we thank you that by your powerful working, the working of your Spirit and your Word, we are not what we used to be. We thank you, O God, for your amazing grace. We do pray for these who shared their testimonies with us tonight. Lord, we pray for Matthew and for Cora, for Audrey, for Liam, for Edith, for Bella, for Justin, for Jeannie. Lord, continue your work of grace in their hearts. And Lord, we pray the same for Wei and Eugene. We thank you that so recently you have brought them to faith. We pray for your strength and wisdom as they deal with her cancer. Lord, I pray that your will and purpose would be done in her body, but that you would continue the sweet work that you have begun in her soul and in Eugene's as well. Lord, we just entrust all of these to you and your care. We commend them to you and to the word of your grace, which is able to build them up. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.